Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that we may hold, have, read, and hear your word. We stand in honor of your word at this moment. We worship you. And this word that is a word about the words that come from our mouths, may this word come to us in the ministry, the teaching, the power of your Holy Spirit. And yes, Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing, acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue this morning looking at the replacement reality that we saw in verse 22 and verse 24 of Ephesians 4. The replacement reality is to replace the old man with the new man. Put off the old, put on the new. We have seen several applications already by Paul of what this looks like. In verse 25, put off lying and put on truth-telling. In verses 26 and 27, put off anger and put on the limitation that you set to anger. Verse 28 that we looked at last time, put off stealing and put on sharing. Today we come to the fourth application of Paul for this replacement reality. And the issue involved is unwholesome words as opposed to edifying words. Put off unwholesome words. Put on words that are good for edification. And that really is the outline for our whole message for these verses this morning. But before we look in particular at putting off unwholesome words and putting on words that are good for edification, let's look at some principles about our words. Now, most of these, and this is where we're focusing this morning, we can see in the book of Proverbs. Now, in Ephesians 4:29, there is a description of the kinds of words that we're talking about. Unwholesome words. The word unwholesome, it's the Greek word sapros, and it can mean rotten, spoiled, putrid, even disgusting, harmful, tearing down, decaying, and such the like. Unwholesome words. Unwholesome words are not limited to just profanity. Of course, profane words would be unwholesome, but this is much broader than just profanity. This is not just saying there are certain words you shouldn't say. This is bigger than that. This is even what you're intending to say and how you say it. Is it unwholesome? Is it rotten? And here's a point we want to proceed with. Rotten words produce something rotten. Okay, that's not hard to grasp, is it? Unwholesome words produce something unwholesome. Disgusting words produce something disgusting. Harmful words produce harm. Now, do you know words, you say, well, I would never do that. My words are always sweet. Do you know you can say very harmful things in a very sweet way? That's disgusting. Rotten fruit can still be sweet. You know that? So, this isn't just, say, talking about being nice. This is talking about speaking in a way that is helpful, and if it's not, then it is unwholesome. Or there are words that are good for edification, that is, words that are beneficial for the building up of yourself and others. Again, words that are good for edification are not just nice words. You say, well, I didn't say anything bad. I didn't say any bad words, but you still might not be edifying. Words that are good for edification are words that are beneficial for yourself and for others. Beneficial words bring beneficial results. Now, this is what we see throughout Proverbs. Words bring some product. Words have an effect. Words have a result. Words set things in motion that become real experiences. Words do this. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep God's words, wisdom's words, the words of wisdom in the midst of your heart. Much like Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Why? So that with all wisdom you can be teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word, speaking is doing something. It's doing something in word. And whatever you do in word, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't let the word of God, God's words, depart from your sight. Proverbs 4:21. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Proverbs 4:22. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Okay? What brings you the experience of life? What does? Words. The words of God in your heart. Those words in your heart are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. To their whole body. Your health, your physical health, okay? Oh, I know that's important to some of you. Your physical health is dependent on the Word of God in your heart. That's what it says. Your physical health isn't dependent on your doctor, on your diet, on all kinds of other things, including distancing and masks and all. Your physical health is dependent on the words of God that are in your heart. That's what Proverbs says. They are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The springs of life. Those good things of life from the Spirit of God, like the fruit of the Spirit. Those things flow from your heart How do they flow from your heart? The answer is by words. So, Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Why? Because when that is the case, springs of life are not coming from your mouth. The fruit of the Spirit is not coming from your mouth. Health is not coming from your mouth. Other things are that are deceitful and produce rotten effects. But from your heart, Jesus said it, Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus said, it's like a man with treasure, and if he has good treasure, he will bring out of his heart that which is good. And if he has evil treasure, he'll bring out of his heart that which is evil. Why? For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. His mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So, having the Word of God in your heart is very important if that is what you want to come out. And this has effects. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. Your satisfaction with things that are good in life comes from what you say with your mouth. That's what it says. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. From the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good. How do you enjoy? You say, well, I want to enjoy the good life. Well, you enjoy the good life by what comes from your mouth. The fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. You love to get a good word at the right time, don't you? How delightful is a timely word. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Yes, there is healing in the words that you speak. There is. By the way, if that's true, the opposite is also true. There is sickness in the words that you speak, if those are the words that you're speaking. You realize this is a principle that has to do with you, with your mouth, with your lips, with your tongue, with your words. This isn't, well, I'm a victim of somebody else's words. No, this is for each one of us individually. And this works all the time. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Notice that. The product. Our lips produce something. He'll be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, that is, those who love, who understand and know and choose the power of the tongue, those who love the power of the tongue will eat its fruit. You understand this. Your words produce something in you and for others. This is a principle. Words reveal what is in your heart. Words declare what you really think and believe. You say, well, sometimes I say things that I don't really think. And I don't really believe. Well, then what are you saying them for? Why would you say that if you know that's not really true, but you also know that if you say it, you're going to bring something to pass in according with those words? Why would you ever say it? Words reveal, words declare, words activate results. Words affect others as well as ourselves. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, put off unwholesome words. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. There's an absolute prohibition here. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Now, if the Apostle Paul was here this morning, and if you said to the Apostle Paul, well, I didn't say those unwholesome words They didn't come out of my mouth. I only tweeted them. I only texted them. They were just on my email or on Facebook or whatever it is, you know. I didn't say them. Paul would say, look, you know better than that. Those that you say, well, they didn't come from my mouth, they came from my fingers. Paul would say, okay, then fingers are included in this verse. It's words that are coming, and they're coming from your heart. And whether they flow out from your mouth, through your mouth, or through your hands, or electronically, or whatever it is, they're still unwholesome, rotten, stinking, disgusting, harmful words. Somebody already asked me before the message this week, does this apply to the President of the United States? The answer is yes. Does it apply? It applies to every individual. It applies to every person alive. And especially the application here is for saved people, believers in Christ who have put off the old and put on the new. Of course, it applies to everybody. Say, well, was that a political statement? Yes, it applies to all politicians. All of them. And remember, unwholesome, rotten words can also sound very sweet. But still, don't let them come out of your mouth or across your Twitter device or whatever it is. There's no room for them. Put them off. It is an absolute prohibition. In the words of Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Put them aside. Put them off. The words that you speak have an effect on you. If you use profane words, whether it is speaking of others or things or events in terms of human excrement, or whether it is speaking that way of others in perverted sexual terminology, you are speaking that upon yourself, as well as speaking it upon others. See, it really does mean something. You say, well, that's not really what I mean. I just have a limited vocabulary. That's not really what I mean. Well, then if it's not what you mean, don't say it. Because saying it, whether you mean it or not, saying it produces something. Doesn't say, well, I didn't mean it. It's fine, you still said it. And those words are unleashed out there into the ears of Satan and demons, something will happen because of it. You can't say, well, those were just words. Put them off. And put on words that are good for edification. Verse 29, only such a word as is good for edification. Beneficial words. Edifying words. Words that are, in the phraseology of Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Beneficial words. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us pursue things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Pursue things, pursue words that will bring peace and will build up one another. Well, but my words, I'm going to let him have it. Boy, I'm going to let him have it. Is that pursuing peace? Well, but they're wrong and they deserve it and they need to be called out. Is that building up one another? Put that kind of speech off and put on language that builds up. Romans chapter 15, verse 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for good, to his edification, building up one another, edifying one another. Speak words that are good for peace, for building up, especially with one another in the body of Christ, in the church. Build up. Build up. Yes, sometimes there needs to be challenge and confrontation. Don't do that with gossip. And don't do that ever with any other person than the one that it needs to be done toward. Say, well, I want to include five other people as witnesses. Don't do it. Go talk to them and bring peace and win your brother. Always. That's speaking the truth in love. If that's not the way you're doing it and what you're doing, keep your mouth shut. Speak truth in love. According to the need. Now, you remember, putting on the new man is putting on everything you are and everything you have in Christ. Putting on who you are and what you have in Christ. So if you say, well, according to the need of the moment, well, when I'm in the moment, I never know quite what to say. Oh? The words to say, words of grace at the right time, is part of your identity in Christ, and what you've received in Him, you have the words to say. You say, well, no, I don't. Well, then maybe you need to be saved. But if you're saved, you have this. It's part of all of your blessings and your inheritance and your riches in Christ. You have that so that the words that you speak can be giving grace, Ephesians 4:29, giving grace so that it will give grace to those who hear. Gracious words. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Words from the mouth of a wise man are what? Gracious. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness. And actually, the next verse, verse 14, says, yet the fool multiplies words. Understanding that foolish words produce wicked results, does that stop a fool from talking? No, that just makes a fool talk more. But words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious. They are gracious words. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace. Okay, read it carefully. Let your speech what? Sometimes be with grace. Most of the time, once in a while, every now and then, what does it say? Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Intend to speak this way for the edification of others, and you will know how to respond. Say, well, I want to be careful what I say because I'm concerned about what that person will think about me. All right, then be quiet, because you're not interested in edifying the other person. You're interested in what they think about you. You're not trying to help anybody else. You're just trying to get your own reputation. You're just speaking out of your own pride because you want a place to fit in. Be quiet. Speak for the edification, for helping, for the building up of others. And when that is your intent, Colossians 4:6 promises that you will know how you should respond to each person. It does. You can't say, Well, I just don't know what to say in those situations. All right? What that tells me is you're not really interested in helping the other person. You're interested in yourself and what they think of you. So be careful in what you speak. Words for edification. Consider the gracious words of Jesus. By the way, even times when Jesus had to say some hard things, like, "You are whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones." Okay, that was a pretty harsh thing to say. But Jesus was saying it graciously for the purpose of helping those to whom he was speaking, and they were the very ones who were seeking to kill him. But he was speaking graciously. You know, on the cross, Jesus spoke, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." He spoke from the cross. "It is finished." He spoke from the cross, meaning that the accomplishment of paying the penalty of sin by his blood, by his death, was completed. Salvation for those who would believe is finished. It's completed. The risen Christ still speaks it and still offers it. He speaks words of grace for the benefit of those who will hear and believe. He says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me in trust by believing. Come to me, and you will have rest." Maybe for some, rest from the turmoil of what goes on in your mouth and in your heart. But believe on Jesus, and he will give you a new vocabulary. That's part of your new life in Christ. He will give you a new mouth, new speech. Yes, he'll give that to you. Come to rest in him. The rest of striving and struggling and figuring out and analyzing and all of this. "Come unto me," Jesus said. How do you come? By believing, by trusting him, and he will give you rest. And the words of Jesus become our words to ourselves and to one another. Heavenly Father, may someone here today grasp the principle that their words produce something. Maybe someone hearing this is realizing that their words are producing their own sickness in their own body. Lord, set them free from that, and may they speak words of life, words of truth, words of healing, words of love. Lord, whatever it is, may these words be edifying to ourselves and to each other. For ultimately, they are from you, your very words to us. May that one who needs to trust in Jesus for salvation today realize that Jesus died for them to bring this to pass and give them all the riches that are in Christ, including heaven. Father, may believers today realize this principle. And Lord, may we speak to ourselves and to each other words that are edifying, that are helpful. And may in all of it, Lord, you be praised, honored, and pleased. In Jesus' name. Hymn number